God and his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word. Well, my son is traveling around Europe. Isn't it great to be young? They saved up, they work for the government, so they have vacation, and now they are off in Europe traveling around. The cool thing is he's staying with friends at the same house I stayed with in 1984, a long time ago, many years ago. And it is so, so cool. But one thing that wasn't cool was one of their friends left their fanny pack on the train, traveling from Spain to Switzerland. Now, how many of you have traveled in that part of the world or ever been there? How many have heard of that? So if you lose your passport, your wallet, your money, everything else like that, you know what that means usually? Your vacation is now on pause. You now have a part-time job. Where's the American embassy? How am I going to get a passport? Can my bank send me some money, etc., etc., etc.? But you know what happened? They lost their fanny pack in the country of Switzerland. Now, I've been there in years and years, but it is an honorable country still that has the conviction that you don't take other people's stuff. So guess what? The young guy got his passport back, and now he's traveling through Europe while the rest are still somewhere over there. Wouldn't it be cool to be part of a country that values such things? Well, they don't value everything like that, but for us, as citizens of the King, we value and honor every virtue that is found in this book. We have freedom, but our freedom as citizens of the King is not to sin, but to be alive and live honorable lives. Live lives that reflect Christ in everything that we say and we do. So, based on the VBS this week, very short, simple message. They had like an undercover agent, right? That was really cool. CIA. Citizens of the Kingdom, our identity in Christ, and our ambition to follow. You get that, you get the whole message. And hopefully, you have the first part of Romans chapter 6. All right? So let's take a look. What does it mean to have citizenship in grace? Now, there's a funny thing that happens. How many of you who have children know that this is true? If you tell them not to touch something, what will they do? They will want to touch it. I thought about this. Please don't look at the darts over there. I saw you, right? Now don't look at the people from Kenya over there, right? The first thing we want to do is we want to do that. That's not sin. I'm glad you're looking at the decorations. We had them kept up there. You know why? Because we want our children and everybody who attends church to be citizens of the King. That's why we left them up. But there's a funky thing that happens that though the first thing that we need to know to belong to the King is what his laws are. We need to know what pleases him. We need to know, not just to please some almighty God, I mean, he is almighty, but we need to say, how do I belong to the family? What are the things that I do, and what are the things that I don't do? But here's the thing. When we learn what the rules are in the flesh, we want to find ways to break them. We want to find loopholes. Look at verse 20 of Romans chapter 5, and I'm reading ESV here. Now, the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abound all the more. All right, so what this is saying here is once you find out the rules, you want to break them. That's what that's saying. So that, verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is going on here is we know what the rules are now, and because we know what all the rules are, we want to, well, the temptation is maybe I'm above the law. Maybe. You ever heard of diplomatic immunity? You ever heard of that before? You know what that means, basically? Certainly on every TV show or every movie, it means I'm above the law, so I don't have to follow the law. So I can get 50 parking tickets by sitting here. I can speed. I can commit crimes. They're missing the point, aren't they? You're supposed to represent your country, so when they see you, they look and they go, man, the people of Switzerland are honorable. They don't take money from some young person who fell asleep on the train and left their fanny pack there. They actually give it all back. What a country that is. I want to go there. That's what it's supposed to be like. But a lot of times, this is just not what it's like. Human nature is not that way. Each and every one of us has this old man or this old fallen nature within us that wants to do wrong. It's just how it is. Because we don't want anybody to be the boss of me. Anybody relate to that? You know, have you heard it said? You're not the boss of me. Well, as citizens of the King, we turn to Jesus and we say, you are the boss of me. And the reason we can do that is because of his impeccable character. Because if we do, he's not out to wreck our lives or make our lives boring. He's out to fulfill our lives, to make us fulfill our purpose. I'm getting ahead of myself. But let's look at Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? That's like saying, let's keep on breaking up so we can keep on making up, right? No, because eventually you're going to break up permanently. That's not how we're to live. The temptation is to keep on sinning, but the truth is that we no longer have that as our identity. We're not above the law. As citizens, we belong to Christ, and because we belong to Christ, we say things like, that's not the way I live. That's not how I live this life. That's not the code that I belong to. That's not how, well, maybe it is how I was raised, but it is not how I now live. So the first thing is C of CIA, we are citizens of grace. Grace is getting something good you don't deserve. It means when we do sin, there's forgiveness. And how often does that forgiveness come? It keeps on coming and it keeps on coming and it keeps on coming enough to put a lump in your throat. That you are loved, loved, loved until we change allegiances and become citizens of the King of Kings. So now that's the first part. That's the first part of we get new passports. That's our identity. But how do we identify? So C, citizenship. I is identity. What is our identity? That God will keep on forgiving us so we keep on sinning? Of course not. That's what verse 2 says. Look at chapter 6, verse 2. This is no longer our identity in Christ. Instead, we are dead to sin. How can we still live in that? Look at verse 2. By no means, absolutely not, we don't keep on sinning that grace may increase. How can we do that? No, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Now here's where it gets a little funky. What this is saying is, yes, we are citizens of the King of Grace, but our first part of our identity is that we are dead. We're dead. We're dead to sin. And this is said again and again, so it is not missed. We're dead in baptism. We're crucified with Christ. So that desire to sin, which leads us away from the King of Grace, is we are dead to that. Let's look at this more carefully. Our identity is literally as the living dead. You see those movies, the zombie apocalypses and all that, and you just go, oh, that's a little creepy. We actually lived in Western Pennsylvania where the Night of the Living Dead was filmed, right down the road from us. And you start thinking about that, you know, you see these zombies that are like decomposing and wandering around, and that is a frightful thing. But the opposite for Christians is true. We've died the death to sin, and now we're alive. Let's look at this. What does death look like? First of all, baptism. Look at verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his what? Somebody help me. Say it all together. Yeah. Whoa. I thought this is just like, you know, you go in the water, you come out, and we sing a song. No. You guys both realize this. We kind of went over this. This is symbolizing your death. That is literally morbid. No matter how deplorable a person is who's ever lived, and they just got, what, the head of Al-Qaeda this week with a drone, you know what's wonderful about dead people? Dead people don't sin anymore. True. You never have to worry about that. If Martha were up here and she works in a funeral home, you can say, you ever have any problem with dead people sinning? She'd say, no, they just sort of lay there. Well, that's exactly what this is talking about. Our identity is that we no longer sin because that part of us is dead. So baptism is death and burial. Our death is the first part of baptism. But the second part is wonderful. The second part is, look at verses 4 and 5. That, yes, we are dead to sin. Yes, we are buried with Christ. Verse 4, we are buried therefore with him by baptism into his death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him, you know what it means if you're united with him? It means I'm with you. This is my identity. I belong to Jesus. I've died to sin, and now I'm raised with him. We are united with him in death like his. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now we're talking. This is what it means to live. Have you met people in your journey that are truly alive? Have you met them? You don't have to go far. You can go all around the world. If you're a follower of Christ, your spirit, even if they don't speak the same language, testifies with their spirit. We got to go on a trip with Bill and Sue a couple weeks ago, and the guy was there, and he said, what's, you're different, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I know, everybody says that. My family especially, right? But, you know, I found out he was an evangelist, and we're talking. Yeah, we're followers of Christ. We could just tell. Have you seen people who live differently? They're people that, despite the news, not many of us probably watch CNN, constant negative news. It's all negative. You watch the news and you don't watch it before you go to bed. You have nightmares. Despite all that's going on in the world, we have hope. How's that work? Because we're citizens with a king and we know who's in charge. We have joy. You know what joy is? Happiness has to do with happenings, things that are happening. Joy means despite whatever's happening to you, even if you're in the darkest dungeon, you can have the joy of the Lord. That does not make sense. That's a supernatural thing that God gives to his citizens as they identify with him. Have you met Christians that when they're in the midst of trouble, when tragedy happens, they don't circle the wagons and try to keep to themselves? Rather, they pitch in and they help. That's why all the hospitals were founded by Christians. It's why the orphanages were founded by Christians. It's why, well, I could go on the list. They have joy. They don't circle wagons. They're not perfect by any means. Please, let's not go there. We're all in process. Amen? Loud amen, right? Somebody say amen again. Amen, right? We're all in process. But they're generous. They serve others. They're kind. They have joy. They have peace amidst the storms. And they have purpose. You know, people in this world, they're looking for meaning in every area. In the heart of a citizen, the king who identifies with the death and resurrection of Christ is to be heartbroken for those that are looking for meaning and love in the wrong places. Because you know why? We've done it, haven't we? Raise your hand if you've done it. Anybody look for love in the wrong places before? What a holy bunch. We all have. They truly care for others in a way that makes people ask the question, what's the catch? What is it about you that's different? Why are you being so nice to me? What do you want? You want me to buy something? Remember, we had a small group leaders over our house, and we just got couples together, and you know, Jennifer had this dinner, salad, entree, all kinds of stuff, and this guy's sitting there watching us warily, and he says, all right, well, when's the Amway presentation? Well, there isn't an Amway presentation. We're just getting people together so they get to know each other so that the body of Christ is strengthened. But we think, what's the catch? The answer is, we're just living for the King. And here's the question. Do you want to know him? Do you want to know this King? I make no apologies. My mission statement in life is to go to heaven and take as many people with me as possible. End of story. Not forcing people, not manipulating people, not shoving the Bible down anybody's throat. I thought Robert did a great job, by the way, talking about that a couple weeks ago. We don't do that. But we show Christ by how we are dead to sin and alive in Christ as citizens of the kingdom. So, how is it that we are crucified? Well, the next part of being dead to sin is Paul writes that we're crucified. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Why? I must do this to get to heaven. Well, that is true. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Following some dead religion because we're afraid of going to hell might motivate some. But finding out that it is in fact escaping eternal punishment, but it's more than that, it's getting to know the author of life. It's getting to know the one who really loves us. The one who knows everything about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. For most of us, it's mostly ugly and bad. Not you people, but me, right? And still loves us. Romans 6:6-7. Crucifixion. Our old self is dead. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, that we would no longer, here's the next thing that he's talking about, we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Have you met people that are enslaved? I know of people that, well, we support that missionary, right, who's in a very difficult part of the world. Their drug programs don't work. But his does because it's Christ-centered. They are freed from their addiction as they embrace Christ. That is good news. That we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Now, maybe not many of us have experienced such severe addiction. But look at the darts on the wall. How many of us lived a life of lies that we always want to make ourselves look better? How many of us have had a problem where we would try to make ourselves look good by making others look bad? Anybody relate to that? How many of us live to look good, wearing fancy clothes, having a fancy car? And look, having nice clothes is not the issue. The issue is if that is your identity and you look down on others that don't have the things you have. How many of us have as our modus operandi, our method of living, to dim the lights and shade things to cover up things we don't want others to see so that we can get our way? We are enslaved to those things. What crucifixion to our flesh means is that we can be set free. Somebody say hallelujah. That's good news. Your friends and neighbors need to know that. They'll see it in you as you live a crucified life. So what do we die to? Now, let me just ask you a question. Now, I'm going to warn you, this is a trick question. Is sin fun? Oh my, he got it. It's fun at first, but it doesn't last. I'm debating about whether to say this or not. We used to say in youth ministry, sin is chocolate-covered poop. Now you can't take it back, but it's a good illustration. It looks really good, and it doesn't last, right? Christ's work is permanent. He set us free from the addiction to things that promise big and leave us sick. And the next thing we see in Romans 6:8-10 is that the work is permanent. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So we're connected with him. Verse 9, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, listen, will never die again. If you identify with Christ in baptism and in crucifixion, you've died, and that's it. You will not taste death again. You are raised to life. Continuing on verse 9, death no longer has dominion over him. Verse 10, for the death he died to sin. It says here, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So what is happening here is the work that Christ has done means that if we have died in him, that is all the death we will ever experience. Amen? Now, there is one more thing. When we become dead to sin, something happens with us. We can no longer be effective sinners. Did you know that? We could still sin, but we can no longer enjoy sin. We might enjoy it at first, and then we feel horrible. We can no longer be effective sinners. Why? Because our new identity is we are dead to sin, alive in Christ. Verse 11, so you must also consider yourselves dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. When sin is tempting us, our identity in Christ as citizens of the King, you know what we say? Sin is tempting us. We might say, what do you reckon? You ever watch one of those Western movies? What do you reckon? I reckon I'm dead to sin. I'm not going there. We consider ourselves, we reckon ourselves, we think of ourselves as dead to sin. So our citizenship is with the King, the kingdom of grace. Our identity is dead to sin, alive in Christ. And finally, and you guys get ready to come up here, we're going to finish the service out by hearing their stories, is our new ambition. What's your ambition? Our new ambition is that sin will therefore not reign in your mortal bodies. So we don't obey sin in our lives. We can have a chance. It's going to go, here you go, tempting, tempting, tempting. No, not obeying that. Take a hike. We're not instruments of sin. So, as I said before, dead people don't sin, right? That's a good thing. But they also don't do any good either. They just lay there, right? Do not present the members of your body as instruments of unrighteousness. But look at the last one, verse 13. But present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. What that means is, I'm now alive with God in Christ, and so whatever I do with my hands, whatever comes out of my mouth, is going to be uplifting, it's going to build others up, it's going to be light in the darkness. Summed all up in verse 14, for sin will no longer have dominion over you, since you are not under law, but you are under grace. Before, we could not sin. Now, we are free to live for Christ. So, Anthony and Mark, would you please come up? And we are going to hear your story. So, Martin, I'm wondering what we're doing. So, the microphone is... I'll take this mic. Okay. Come on up. Have a seat. Give these guys a hand. All right. Have a seat. I'm going to interview these people. And Mark, you get to go over there. Is that your lifeline? Is this on? Okay. All right, so I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Tell us your story. What was your life like before Jesus?
Well, before I knew Christ, it was kind of chaotic, you know, walking around aimlessly, no purpose, no goals, you know, just taking it day by day and kind of winging it, and, you know, hopefully something good will happen, you know, just no future, really.
Okay, cool. Mark, I'm going to hand the mic over to him. What was your life like before Christ? And hold it right up to your lips.
Like everybody else, I was, you know, get baptized when I was young. And you get older, you get caught up in life, you get away from the church and the Lord. And I just chase after the dollar, and you forget about the Lord. And, you know, you need to come back to the Lord.
Can you hear Mark in the back, Martha? Okay, cool. Good. All right. Why don't I hear? I'll stay with you. What led you to this point, Mark?
Well, I have to do this. Ron and Sue.
See, Mark is their boss, so Mark is Ron's boss, so you must be here today, right? Here, wave your hands.
Thanks to Ron and so there, they got me in here, and I've been here, I don't know how long now, and thankful for the both of them and everybody.
All right. So the influence of Ron and Sue, yes, in your life, yes. Cool. They kind of took an interest in you?
Yes.
Cool. And
brought me.
Excellent. Invited you to church. Cool.
Yes.
You can do that, folks. Amen? All right. Go ahead, Anthony. What led you to this point?
Well, my mother taught me about God when I was about 12 years old, and I knew of him, but I didn't know him, you know what I mean, for a good part of my life. And then as I got older, I wanted to learn more about him, so I started taking the Bible in hand and eventually read the whole Bible. You know, it took me years, but...
Yeah. Anthony knows Scripture. We could call out Robert there. There he is. Everybody wave to Robert. Robert's study on Wednesday nights was instrumental, I think, right?
Yes, and Robert's actually the one, I have to give you credit, Rob, you're the one, because I was wondering about the baptism for a long time, and it was on my heart. Then I asked Rob, and Rob said that since my walk with Christ has been so much increased over the years, I really need to get this done, so I'm glad I'm here today.
Amen. How is your life different now?
Well, pivotal point in my life happened 9 years ago, April 21st, 2013, when I was in almost a fatal motorcycle accident right here in Deffert at Five Points. It was a sunny evening at 5:30, which is out for a cruise, and I was driving for U.S. Mail at that time and was going to go back home because I was the supervisor at that time to get the payroll. And I got struck, and the vehicle literally ran over top of me, and I was pinned underneath it with the vehicle on fire. And so they ran into the 7-star diner to get fire extinguishers to put me out. And I couldn't breathe, had a collapsed lung, a C5 vertebrae fractured my neck, a lacerated liver, a concussion, a broken right leg. So they airlifted me to Cooper Trauma, where by the grace of God, I'm here, you know what I mean?
Wow. Wow. Okay, Mark, you don't have to one-up that. So what brought you, how's your life different now, I guess? Is that where we're on?
Yes. My life's different now, I want to say, because I have good friends, good people backing me. I'm going to Bible studies, good friends, extended family, I want to say.
Cool. All right, so then a couple more is, well, that's pretty much you've started that. What's encouraged you along the way? Because I want them to know, how do I grow in this, you know?
Right. Well, like Anthony, bringing this up, I also had an accident in '85. I fell from an overhead crane 30 feet and landed on concrete. And at the point in time then, you know, young kid, 20s, whatever, you don't think much about it, but, you know, I wanted to get back to work, get back in the hustle bustle, you know, go on with life. But now that I'm older now, I think of it as, I don't know how I wasn't, you know, dead or laid up in a bed, paralyzed, whatever, but it was the Lord, you know, now that I see, it was Him that brought me out of this, that brought me out of that and alive today. That's the way I see it.
Okay. Encouragement along the way or any challenges? You can hand it over to Anthony if you want. Take a breath or you can answer.
Encouragement. I encourage everybody to please, you know, read your Bible, read the Lord's Word, and, you know, try to get into a study group if you can, because it does help.
I don't want to embarrass Mark, but he's reading this Bible, and it's a Greg Laurie Bible. And he goes, is this guy okay? I go, yep, he's okay. Keep on reading. Thank you. Anthony, any encouragement?
Yeah, encouragement is just trust in Christ. I mean, He's the one that gave me, well, multiple chances, especially the one 9 years ago. And ever since then, my faith has increased exponentially, and it's brought me here today. So,
Robert said this. He said, when we hear someone speak, it's just words. But when we hear the verse, when we hear the word of God spoken, or we read the word of God, we hear the voice of God speaking. So that's really cool. And Anthony really does know the word well. Word of encouragement for the church, and then we're going to move to baptism. Any word of encouragement?
Yeah. No matter what happens in your lives, just stay faithful to Christ. You'll always work it out for your favor in the end.
Okay, Mark?
I'd have to say the same thing. You know, stick with the Lord. You can't go wrong.
Amen. All right, Martin's going to come up, and then we're going to, here, I'll hand you this.